Of course, I have not been attending the conference, and so I have a lot of questions personally myself, but we're fielding your questions here. And for those of you who actually submitted all these questions in this wonderful box that I made, a little bit of the wrapping job could be better, but I took some time to read some of the questions, and we got a whopping four, a whopping four questions. But I vetted them, and they're very practical and applicable to everyone here. So we'll start off with a softball question, very slow. And of course, if you have any questions, feel free to be brave and bring them up. So here's a softball question for you. From expecting parents, do you have any weekly, monthly, or annual traditions? Can it be as fun or serious as it could be as fun or as serious as you'd like to share?
Okay. One thing that stands out actually with that question is how hard it was coming with two different families. Both my husband's family and my family were kind of large, caring family, or they cared that we were a part of traditional things like, you know, Christmas and holidays. So it was hard for us feeling torn when we were married a while before we had kids. So once we had kids, it was like, okay, no longer do we want to go to two Thanksgivings and, you know, be stretched. So I think one thing we did that was really valuable is making our family priority. So me, my husband, and our kids priority. If it worked to make everybody else happy, great, but if not, then we just let it go. We put less pressure on ourselves. So I think that thing, that mindset helped tremendously. Other than that, I would say traditions. I mean, nothing comes up hugely in my mind except for camping, which is funny because some took off camping. We live very crazy lives, very busy. All of us are kind of, you know, busy and having fun. So we take time where we cut off from technology and our phones and computers and everything, and we go. Like Yosemite is one of our favorite places, and otherwise it could just be a camping trip. But to be able to have that more of the time and attention for talking with them, that's a tradition that we started that we keep, you know, and is very, very important. Yeah, that's the big one that I can think of, that traditions. I'm sure we have lots, but I'm blanking. They're back there. Just wave, because I already am, like, distracted, so that's part of it. It's like I'm asking him, but he doesn't want to come up. He's like, don't make me. He just took the kids all about having fun, so.
Great. Welcome. It's good to see you guys again. A question for the father's and husband's role. What does it mean for the father and husband to be a spiritual head of the family, and what does that look like on a day-to-day basis?
You know, for me, I think one thing that's important was my role in understanding that my husband is the head of the house. I think in our society, that's very counterculture. I obviously have a lot of passion and drive, and but I also know scripture, and so sometimes we miss it, and just to know that that's real, that God made man and gave man the responsibility of the family, that the weight is on his shoulders. And the woman also has a role, and there it's not about equal or not equal, but about authority and a role given. So to not let culture minimize that. So I say it's a little bit different, because on my side it was a spiritual issue with myself to acknowledge that, and that he is the head of the home and not fight for that. I didn't talk about it, but in that Genesis thing, I was going to bring it up and totally forgot. But at the very, with the curses laid out, that's part of it, is that women wanting to usurp the role of the man in the relationship is there from Genesis also. And so that fight. So I would say from my side as a woman, recognize that. Back down, you know, they have the role. But from the man's side, it's more just, you know, understanding it from scripture. I think that is between them and God. It's hard for me to answer. I've watched it unfold in different people's lives, and sometimes it's been making a decision that's best for the family, even though their wife doesn't want them to, because they know from God they need to. So being brave to stand up and make decisions, even though it causes conflict, to protect or to do the right thing, you know, to have that relationship with God, can they recognize their own sin so that a wife doesn't have to point it out, because between them and God, they have their own conviction from God? So having a right relationship with God in their word, knowing God intimately, so they don't need anybody else pointing out, they can do it themselves, might be something.
Mm. Could you give us the reverse or the transverse role for the wives and mothers to be a biblical and godly mother, mm-hmm. In your opinion?
So I do think Proverbs 31 is a good example. You know, it's out of scripture, but it's true in that you're going to put a lot of time and energy into your home, you know, and going to be exhausted and sleep less and, you know, everything. So I think what comes natural and easy for us, though, is the work part. Not for everybody, but for many women, working hard to create the environment is easy. But somebody had talked about it, actually, the control part that stood out to me is our facade of control, because we don't really have control. But I think that's because of that natural drive sometimes that's in us, it could look like over-controlling every little thing, and I don't think that is beneficial for the family. So to be able to let go of some of that control is going to be a smart move as a wife and a mom. These are difficult tangibly for me to think of examples, so maybe if I keep thinking of examples as we go, I'll throw out some.
Sure, thank you. Let's go a little bit fastball here. Those are some softball questions, but I appreciate this question. It's very honest. It asks, or it prefaces, I struggle with annoyance. The characteristics and tendencies that didn't bother me early in our marriage bother me so much years later. It affects my physical intimacy with my spouse. What advice could you give for loving my spouse as he or she is?
Very good. So a few things here. One is, over time, you'll have to do more to have a good relationship. You can't just keep everything the same. So how much are you pouring into the relationship compared to what's naturally happening? Naturally, we're going to get irritated at things. Naturally, if we did nothing, eventually things that were a little bit annoying will grow bigger. So what are we doing proactively to keep the spark alive? For example, if tomorrow you wanted to woo your spouse, what would you do? If you spent 30 days courting, you know, like you were just dating, what would you do? So how much is going into fostering the relationship now? Or has everybody gotten lazy? Because we do. You know, so what are you doing with yourself physically? What are you doing, you know, with time? Just paying attention, taking responsibility for what you're doing to pour into your relationship. Another trick is to remember what you fell in love with, what you appreciate. Are you focused on what irritates you? Well, how much time are you spent remembering the little things that you have appreciated so much? How are they as a dad or a mom? How are they as a worker? How are they in other areas that you can spend more time purposely, mentally remembering and keeping fresh on your mind? In that Gottman whole philosophy where they did all these studies, that was one thing. There's these tools they use, and if you remind me, I can find them for pastors even to use. But they're tell me what caused you to fall in love with your spouse. Tell me this, tell me that. And you ask the people to remember what they loved, the positive attributes, and then that shifted the relationship. So have you gotten tired with other things like life and work that you're just worn out? So it maybe has less to do with your spouse and more to do with you're overwhelmed or you're stressed or you're grouchy, you know, or, you know, hungry, you know, like those types of things. Is, do you need to take better care of yourself personally to where you feel better and it's easier for you to gauge in your relationship? And then the other part would be, you know, maybe taking responsibility. Are you using this as an excuse and it's a temptation? You go down that rabbit hole. Well, she doesn't this, he doesn't that, and you're using it. Can you, like we said, look in the mirror, put a little water on your face and say, come on, knock it off. Let go of expectations and rules or whatever else and just, you know, go enjoy your spouse for a time. Or are you letting tick for tack get in the way and it's kind of wearing down the relationship? Throw it all out the doors. Go do something fun, exciting, you know. Take responsibility. The hard part about all of it, I think, too, just real quick on this tangent, you have to pour in 1,000% and hope they do the same. You know, you have to do your side. You can't worry about them, what they are or aren't doing for you to some extent. You have to do what you need to do. Hope they do the same in reverse. So are you holding on? Like, well, I'm not doing that. If he doesn't do that or she doesn't do that, then it's probably not going to work. Give it all. Dive in. Put all in your relationship. Hope the other person does the same, and they probably will as they see your energy, your time, your side of it. It's much easier for the other person to kind of like be surprised and sparked and dive in as well.
Hey, I'm just surprised that people get annoyed in marital relationships, period.
It's amazing, amazing. It's a long time.
Yeah. I have a question with when you're putting in the effort, how much do you actually communicate that to your spouse? Of course it wants to, it should be, you would hope that they would understand that you're putting in time and effort and energy, but what if they're so dense and oblivious that they have no clue what you are doing?
Yeah.
How deliberate can that be communicated to the other person?
I would say there's probably times that you could be overt about that, maybe in a fun way. But yeah, there's two sides to that. One side I'm thinking, is that what's happening, or are you concerned that you're putting in a lot of time and effort without them noticing? That's already, you're starting off with the wrong motive, you know? So the motive is to figure out how you're going to communicate to them that you love them and you want attention brought to them and all of this. So if your focus is, how can I get that they know I'm trying really hard, it's already kind of the wrong motive. So be careful with that. But if you're working towards something and they're not getting it, in some ways you haven't figured it out yet, you know, because your goal is not to do what other people have done or what you would want done, it's to figure out what that person would appreciate. So maybe you haven't figured it out yet. But other than that, I think you can always communicate. So you can say, like, I want to figure out your love language. I want to figure out what you appreciate. I keep trying different things. It seems like it's not really something that's caught your attention. Do you have any ideas? You can openly communicate that and see what they say. But again, if they say, I don't know, you know, if they don't have anything, then it's back to the drawing board. But how worth it is it? You know, don't give up. You maybe have 30 more years, 50 more years. Come on, dive in. Show some creativity. Talk to other people. Get other people involved. Maybe there's a personality. You haven't figured it out. Talk to other people. There's got to be somebody with that personality that has some creative idea. So be adventurous. Go outside of your normal, you know, range of what you've done to figure out something to re-spark your marriage.
We'll field one more question here, and it's regarding parenting. I'll rephrase it in this way. What is your thoughts and opinions about disciplining children, and how would you do it in a wise and loving way?
So I would say number one is consistency, not necessarily method, because every kid's different. You know, I'm not inherently opposed to spanking. Even though I'm a psychologist, you know, I see pros and cons depending on the situation. I definitely see if it's out of anger, how harmful that could be, but I'm not against it completely. At the same time, I've watched how sometimes it just doesn't work with a certain personality. So you have to be ready to adjust and figure out what's going to work for each kid. But if you have a game plan in place and you back down, then in the long run, they figure it out and it'll work against you. So consistency, whatever you have planned, is going to be the most important, that you don't back down, even when it's difficult. But I do like, in general, the idea of some consequence being planned for whatever action, because then you don't have to be mad. You don't have to be upset that they didn't do something that you wanted them to. You get no problem. you did that, so now you know you have your consequence. And if that can last, then the kid also knows what to expect. They could still be rebellious, they could still go against it, but eventually, if it's set up, they're going to want what they want or want to avoid something, and then it should work. But if you back down or you give in, then they'll learn that also. If I just pester enough, they'll give in. If I just throw a tantrum, they'll give in. Then you're creating this learned response. They're going to do it every time. They're going to figure you out way before you figure out them and use it against you. So to be consistent, to communicate as a team, I think is really important. If you have a difference of opinion, don't have that out in front of them. You know, wait till you're alone to talk about it. I thought we agreed we're gonna do this or not this, and I saw this. You don't want to show a division in front of kids, if at all possible. Talk about it, have a game plan, be a team, support your spouse. Or again, they learn how to pit each other against each other, you know. So they'll go over here, say that, go over here, say that. Kids are way too smart. You have to be a team. So those two are important. And I like natural consequences, if at all possible. Sometimes it's not possible. But if there's some way to tie in their action results in something like it would in the real world, that's a deep lesson they can start learning now, ready for when they have a job or whether, you know, adult life. So if there can be a way where the consequence actually fits whatever they've done or haven't done, it's a great strategy to learn other lessons along the way.
Wonderful. Thank you. I do want to open it up to our attendees here. We have an extra mic, and if you would like to ask a question in person, I know that George, Elder George, is coming right on down like it's The Price is Right. Go ahead. Yeah.
I feel like parenting has been an experiment, like where I am trying to fix a broken plane while it's flying, which is me, I'm the broken plane. And so one challenge I have, and I was wondering if you had any advice for, you know, growing up Asian American, definitely a shame-based experience. And so I find myself, the way I react with my wife and with my kids derives a lot from that. And so like if you had any building blocks or steps forward to help unwind that, because like sometimes I feel like that I want to convey, like, oh, no shame for my kids, but at the same time, like, you know, I'm trying to unwind that in my own life as a parent because I see it's coming out. So, do you have any practical steps or advice for like how to navigate trying to unwire that while I'm trying to make sure it's not wired into my kids as well?
Sure. Yeah, you know, I think actually as a counselor, you've got to learn this because people will tell you all kinds of things, and it's very unhelpful to have some kind of a reaction, right? So you learn a game face. And I think that's a tangible tool you could practice in the mirror, you know, is a game face to not show a reaction. So sometimes something happens, you react. And the initial reaction, if left to yourself, might be to shame them, to have some kind of reaction that pulls from guilt or shame. So then you have to learn basically not to react fast, to make a decision about how you're going to respond. So that takes practice. But if you can start with a game face, so no matter who says what, when, how, that you have this, you know, as a counselor, in your mind you're like, oh my gosh, how is this possible? But you can't show that. So you have, yeah. Actually, I've heard this often. It's very, very common. No, that's crazy, you know? So you might have that as a parent. Like, how did my child just say that? But have a game face so they don't pick up on your body language and think, did I do something wrong? Am I bad? You know. So have a game face and then take time to decide, how can I respond? Now, if that's not something that comes natural, that's okay. Most of us react fast. You know, that's easy for us. So how can you learn to take time before you respond to whatever's coming at you? So practice that skill. It's going to be hard at first. The more you practice it, it gets better. No matter what a person says or does to you right now, you take some time, have a game face. Okay, I get it. I'm coming back to you. Give me a moment. Go somewhere else. Have a talk with God. Okay, what's the best way to react to this? You don't have to respond right away. usually. Maybe there's some emergency where you do. So I would just say start now practicing honing that skill of not reacting right away. Go make a decision somehow. What's the best way to respond to this? Come back in and then execute that. So be careful with the quick reactions. Be careful with all of your body language communicating before you can even think about it. And that's just a skill I think you can practice. And I just call it the game face. And you can practice that with little things at work. You know, are you going to lose your job because you overly react to something? Or do you keep it together for a moment and go tell your coworkers that you just had the craziest customer? So we know we have these skills. So draw from other resources to have a game face, to give yourself time to decide how to respond. And just even knowing this information is already going to be a different battle. You know, you're going to know logically. Now you just have to figure out how to apply it. That's the hard part. But by knowing it, you can do this eventually. And also with all that, don't shame yourself. You know, don't carry all the weight and guilt for all your parents. You know, you got to also do what you want to do for your kids to yourself to be free to move forward and have a different way of responding.
Great. Do we have any other questions that we would like to field here?
When you feel overwhelmed, when you are so busy with work, whatever that you, like all the obligations you have to be responsible of, what are some ways that you personally find joy in the midst of the storm you're going through?
Very good. Okay, with all that stress that we talked about, the cortisol and your sympathetic nervous system, there's some strategies to control that. A lot of it's mental, but also physically, when you're all worked up with stress, your heart races fast, you have shorter breathing, and your body kicks into gear. So you can learn types of relaxation. And for me, just taking deep breaths, as deep as you can, and breathing out. Technically, what's happening in that is you're getting more oxygen to your brain. And if you can do that, it can slow your heart rate down and basically mimic the system that's the parasympathetic nervous system, that calm response. If you can fake your body into thinking you're relaxed, it will actually turn off your stress response. So learning strategies physically to relax your body, take deep breaths, stay calm, try to calm yourself down physically, you might actually turn your stress response off. Now you have your prefrontal cortex working properly. You know, there's a lot of good ways that you can deal with stress after that. So I have a particular relaxation technique that works well for me that I'll practice sometimes. And so you have body muscle memory. Your body will remember things. So for me, now that I practice it a lot, if I go, okay, Julie, you have to relax, my body can relax fast because it remembers it. It learned it. So, you know, whether you go outside somehow, some way, figure out these relaxation techniques. I have a video on it somewhere. Then your body could use that to relax. Otherwise, it's mental. When we talked about the spiritual warfare, that significantly helped my kind of stress level and being overwhelmed, because I'm in a war. I don't have time to let this get to me. I have to stay calm, because if you were in a crisis situation, right, you got to stay calm. Have your good brain working, because you might have to make good decisions, you know. Those types of things, this language helps me. We wake up, my husband and I, sometimes he's reminding me or I'm reminding him, but calm down. Stay aware of your surroundings. Where are your keys? And I lock them in my car when I get too stressed. So remembering we're in a war, be alert, pay attention, stay focused. I stay in prayer all day long. I talk to God all day long. That saves me. I talk to him about what's happening in the moment. Like, I talk to myself in my head, you know, relax, Julie. Actually, everything's going to be fine. How many times has God bailed you out? Of course he's going to again. Calm down. It's up to him. So the idea of keeping truth in your mind, I use that so much. You know, is it really up to you whether this works or not? No, it is up to God. So calm down. Relax. Enjoy your kids. My husband and I do now work very well as a team, where he'll remind me too, like, you're gonna, this is how the day's gonna go, or you're gonna calm down and let's have fun. And unfortunately, he has to do that often for me, but I am so grateful because I want to have fun with my kids. And I could just work all day long. Pay attention. Wake up. Your life's here. Don't lose it. Grab it. So the teamwork might help. Do you know your partner's weakness, your spouse's weakness, where you can work as a team to remind each other? Hey, you know what? I feel spiritual warfare. How about you? Right now, we need to pray. We need to be ready for the day. When you go through your day and you're telling this to your spouse, hey, remember, stay focused on what's important. Whatever it is you're saying, use each other to keep yourself in check. And then I would say we take off if we can. We use this opportunity. We had a blast yesterday. We try to get away. And I don't know what that is for you, but you have to have something where you reset and you can look at your kids in their eyeballs. And my daughter will tell me, she'll be like, Mom, you know, I need time. Let's go. Let's go on a date. When's our date night? You know, date day. So, you know, to find time to where you're engaged with your family is important. So whether it's camping or some other thing you guys come up with, it has to be priority. Don't let it go too far. You know, keep it as priority somehow, some way. But it's all a fight. You have to stay engaged in the fight.
Thank you. I think we have time for one more question right over here.
Hi. This is kind of just piggybacking off what you just said, but as far as date nights and things like that, people have said that's very important. We have four kids, so it kind of makes that challenging time and effort also. So I was just wondering... if there are any strategies, aside from just time and attention, which I know they would love to have, but...
Sure. You know, one thing I think is be careful not to listen to everybody. You got to trust your gut. My husband and I, even our family gets irritated at us because we don't take time for ourselves often. We don't care. We obviously, you know, in... as far as our relationship, we have ways that we keep our relationship strong. But to have date night or me time, you know, some of those things from our culture, I don't care about. I love being with my kids. I don't want to go, this is not a negative because this is me personally, but I don't want to go on a women's retreat. You know, it's like, I just don't care. I have such little time. Why am I going to go there? I want to be with my family. So that's something is not to be careful to confuse what's important for your family with what other people are telling you is important for your family. Trust your gut. It may be in 10 years you go on a date. Who knows? You know, like you want to keep your relationship priority. So figure out what that looks like. But it might not look like what other people are telling you it does. So I would just let go of some of the pressure that's coming just because logically you're trying to follow what others are telling you and really trust your gut between you and your wife on what helps your family, your relationship. So if you think it's important, you figure out how to have date night, make it happen. But if it can't happen and you actually are fine, then let it go. Like sometimes the stress is like, that's not where it's important. Over here, it's really important, and you wasted all that stress on here. It's not even important, you know? So that's for us, we do family time more than we worry about date night because we share that common theme. Even we were talking about, we had our wedding anniversary on we had a family conference on our anniversary last year, 17 years last year, so it was funny. But with that, everybody was like, aren't you going to go do something? Aren't you going to this? Aren't you going to that? It's like, we love each other. We always love each other. You know, we have a great marriage and a great relationship. I don't have to pick a day, you know, to sacrifice other things for that moment. So it's okay, you know, that we had that family conference. So pick and choose your battles, but make sure it's what's really good for your relationship and not what somebody has imposed on it.
Thank you. That is all the time that we have for question and answer. Before we have Dr. Julie Hayden step down, because she is pretty much done with this conference, we're going to pray for her real quickly. We're so blessed by not just what you've shared professionally, but you've shared so many things personally with us.